Romans chapter 3. I'm going to begin at verse 9. What should we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We've already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, that it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing. Let me read.
Excellent. Thank you, Alan. PowerPoint, if we can. So we're in the armour of God. Last week we considered the belt of truth and the importance of knowing truth, the importance of knowing the Bible. This is for us as Christians to help us live the life that God wants us to live as his people. Today we're going to look at one of the most visible and distinctive parts of the soldier's equipment, the body armour or the breastplate. Here's the picture. You can see from here, covered the front, covered the back as well. It was metal. Couldn't have been that comfortable to wear, but it, because it was sort of made with the scales, it was they weren't all made like this. This is a representation, but it gave them flexibility and great protection. A lot of the warfare were done with lances. It was done with daggers, so you can imagine something like this would have given them a huge advantage. I guess modern day example equivalent would be something like bulletproof jacket that the police would wear, or the body armor. Should have asked Kerry to bring her body armor, shouldn't we? As a copper, she would have. That was the kind of thing. It gave them protection for the kind of the vital organs, the heart, lungs, and those kind of things, but particularly the heart. Now, Paul says that righteousness, let's just read that little passage in Ephesians for you, where it says in Ephesians chapter, if I can find it, chapter 6 and verse 14, he says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Ephesians 6:14, the breastplate of righteousness in place. So what Paul says here is that righteousness works in the same way for us as Christians, in the same way as the breastplate did for the Roman soldiers. It protects our vital organs, and one of the most vital things that we have is our heart as Christians. The Bible speaks a lot about the heart, in the sense, not the physical muscle that beats, but when it talks about the heart, it's talking about the seat of our emotions. We still do it these days, don't we? I love you with all my... Yeah. It's what we say. Well, we don't actually love with this bit in here, do we? That doesn't do anything. If anything, it's up here. But we know what we mean. It's at the very core of our being, everything within us. It's with all my desires, with all my passions, with all my emotions. And, you know, this is the area that spiritually Satan will try and get to us. Our spiritual enemy will try to get to us, will try to undermine our emotions and our passion for God, our zeal for God. And he'll try and cause us to doubt him and to doubt ourselves as well. If he can get us and convince us that God does not love us, or that we don't love God, then we're on a road for failure. So he will try and get to our hearts. If he succeeds, we're as good as beaten, we'll be weak, we'll be ineffective. And so it's essential that we have something to protect our hearts. And that's exactly what righteousness does, the breastplate of righteousness. But we have to ask the question, well, what is righteousness, don't we? Because it's not a kind of word that we use these days, unless we say that someone is self-righteous. And we all know what we mean when we say someone is self-righteous. We don't tend to like self-righteous people, do we? They're up themselves a little bit. They're quite often proud. They're quite judgmental, aren't they? Those are the kind of things that go with it, because they think of themselves as better than other people. They think of themselves as somehow more moral, more upright, if they're self-righteous. So it's about morality. It's about purity. It's about goodness. Goodness, morality, purity is the righteousness, the breastplate. So are we thinking about us being good? Us trying our hardest? Us trying to keep the law of the land and the law of God as much as we can, so that we become good, and so that that will help us and that will protect us? Well, we're absolutely not thinking about that. There are two particularly relevant parts of the Bible that will help us this morning. One of them is the one that Alan read, which I'll come to in a moment. But the first one is found in the book of Philippians. And this is what it says. The writer there, he says, if someone else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And he gives this list of things that would be to his credit, things which would be considered by some to be, to make him a righteous person, a good person, circumcised on the eighth day. That was a pucker job. That was how you had to do it. If you were going to do it properly, you did it on the eighth day. Anything less was good, but it wasn't right. He was of the people of Israel, so he was a proper Jew. He was not just a proper Jew. He was from the best tribe, from the tribe of Benjamin. He was then a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was kind of, he'd got it. He'd got the right heritage and the right family line. In regard to keeping the law, well, he was a Pharisee. A Pharisee was someone who prided themselves in absolutely scrupulous obedience to what God had said. Zeal, his zeal was so great. His passion for God was so great that he actually persecuted. He went out to try and kill and put to death the church of Jesus. And righteousness based on the law, in other words, a goodness based on what he did and how he lived, he says that he was pretty much faultless. If ever then there was a person that could have trusted in his own morality, in his own goodness to help him, it was this guy here, Paul, who also wrote Ephesians, the book that we're looking at. But then look what he goes on to say. But whatever was for my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss. I consider them rubbish. A really strong word there. Rubbish, it's dung. It's excrement, okay? I consider them as excrement, that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own. Remember what he's just said? All of those things which would make him good, that could perhaps give him credit before God. He said, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from keeping the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. That's what we're talking about here. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Paul had lived a life of outstanding religious and moral correctness. But he's come to see that that is of no value, no protection at all. In fact, it rather hindered him than helped him. The other passage that we read was the one that Alan read, where God shows us that this kind of morality of trying to be good is useless for protection against Satan and useless before God as well, because he says everyone falls short. No one is good enough. The Ten Commandments, the law, are good. They do help and protect us if we keep every single one of them. But that's the problem, isn't it? Because none of us keep them completely. We all fall short. We all miss the mark. So instead of making us right before God, instead of helping us and giving us some protection from God and from Satan, they actually serve to show how utterly useless we are and how much we shall fall short of God's accepted standard. That's in verse 20 of Romans chapter 3. Our own moral goodness, our own attempts to try and make ourselves good enough for God, righteous before God, is actually useless. It's useless to make us acceptable before God, and it's useless as a defense against the attacks of Satan. Because if we think that we're ever good enough, Satan will shoot straight through that and point out the areas and the mistakes and the faults that we make. And of course, he's utterly true, isn't he? He's right when we say we're not good enough. He's right when he says, but you're a hypocrite. He's right when he says, you know, you say this, but you don't do it. He's right, isn't he? We need a defense against that. So, what is this righteousness? Well, Paul has already told us that it is Jesus' righteousness that God counts as yours. What you need to rely on in your fight, in your life, in protection against Satan, and when you stand before God, is the righteousness, the goodness, the purity of Jesus. Let me just show you again. Now, apart from the law, apart from trying to be good, apart from trying to attain a certain standard, apart from that, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The righteousness, this righteousness, is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So what we're talking about here is not something that we earn. It's not something that we try to gain. It's not something that we try to build up. It's something that God gives to us when we trust Jesus. See, the deal is this. I'm in debt to God and I can't pay. Or we could change the image and say, I'm dirty because I've sinned. I'm dirty before God and I cannot clean myself up. I stand judged. I stand guilty before God. On the other hand, there is Jesus. And Jesus is perfection. Jesus is utterly, totally good, without flaw at any point. And what God does when we come to him through Jesus is he puts our badness, our flaws, our immorality, our unrighteousness onto Jesus. And on Jesus, in Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross, God punished Jesus instead of us. My slate then, my slate is wiped clean. If you put it into a modern thing, if you have a computer, the hard drive is completely clean. It's a complete reinstallation of the operating system. Everything is taken away and a new start. The Bible says that he gives us a new heart. You know, if everything goes wrong on your computer, wipe it completely clean. Reinstall Windows if you've got a Windows machine. I don't know what you do with a Mac. But in Windows, put the operating machine back and start from fresh. You know, when we become a Christian, that's what God does. He reinstalls the operating system completely new. Not just patching up, not trying to put an update to patch a mistake, a patch, a fault. Complete restart. So he puts us in a position where we have no debt, no grime, no crime with which we can be charged. All the things that made me guilty, all the things that made me dirty, all the things that were impure were put onto Jesus. And therefore, God then looks at me. And the good news for you this morning as a Christian, that God looks at you as completely clean. Isn't that good news? Because we know that we're guilty. But as God looks on you this morning, he sees you completely clean. But not only that, in the words of a certain Irish comedian of a few years ago, but there's more. Jesus doesn't just pay off my debt. I'm actually credited with his goodness. Not only does he pay off my debt, so my bank balance, instead of being in the red, is back to zero, he actually puts his bank balance, credits it to me. The goodness of Jesus is credited, so I'm in credit before God. Because he puts the goodness of Jesus and counts it as mine. His purity, his perfection, the purity, the perfection of the beautiful Jesus who's never done anything wrong, gets credited to me. You're a Christian? The purity of Jesus has been credited to you this morning. So when God looks at you, he's not looking at you as you naturally are. He's looking at you in Jesus, covered over with Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus. The prophet Isaiah uses the picture of a robe. It's like he puts the robe of Jesus' purity around you so that he doesn't see your dirty, grimy old robe of what you've tried to do, but he sees you perfect and pure in Jesus. Jesus gets my sin and my weakness, and I get his purity and perfection. Amen? Isn't that fantastic? That's how it works. And it's this righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus, that Paul is saying here, protects us as we put it on each day. How does it do it? How does it protect us? Well, it protects us against the taunts and the accusations of Satan against our failures. How can you expect God to listen to you when you pray, when you've just done that? Why should God forgive you? You don't deserve it because of what you looked at on the television, because of what you looked at on the internet. You don't deserve it because of the way you spoke to your child, the way your thoughts against your elderly parent when you'd got fed up with them and it just got over much. You don't deserve it. You're no good, are you? You're just a dirty, filthy, rotten sinner. And you think you're so good. That's how Satan will talk to us. You know it in your heart, don't you? It's what he says. What do we say to him when he says that? If we're not claiming the righteousness of Jesus, we're going to say, you're right, I don't deserve it. And we're not going to be praying. And we're going to feel useless. We're going to feel that we can't do anything. We're going to feel that God isn't our friend, that we're not worthy of being his child. All of those things are true, but covered in the righteousness of Jesus, we say, no, Satan, I don't deserve it, but there is one that does. And I'm not trusting, I'm not a Christian, I'm not praying because I'm good. I'm actually praying because I'm bad. But I'm covered with Jesus' goodness. And that's good enough for God. Some of you here this morning, you might be feeling really bad because of stuff you've done, because of stuff you've thought, things that you've not done, things that you have done. This week, maybe back in childhood, back in teen years, man, how many of us as teenagers didn't do things that we regret? And God might forget them, but we can't, can we? And they live with us. If you've got a guilty conscience this morning, you're a Christian, let me tell you, he doesn't look at those things, he looks at you in Jesus. Clothed, covered in his righteousness. So when you feel bad, when your emotions are going up and down, when he puts guilt on you, you point him to Jesus. Jesus and his purity. He is your shield and your protection. Satan will come and condemn, but the Bible says there is now no condemnation. No condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We stand, I'm standing, you're sitting. We know that by nature, we're guilty before God, don't we? We know that. Praise God for the goodness of Jesus. That when God, the Holy One, looks on us, he sees us not as we are, but clothed in the purity of Jesus. And he accepts us. For the sake of that Jesus. The beauty of what God has done for us. The second thing, Jesus' righteousness, this is really important, remains the same. Even when our feelings and emotions fluctuate. Our feelings come and go, they rise and fall for lots of reasons. It's part of being human, isn't it? It's nothing to be surprised at. Just because you don't feel as much in love with Jesus, because you don't feel as passionate for him today as yesterday, that's normal. Doesn't excuse it. It's not necessarily right, but it's normal. Satan, though, will use that as an opportunity to attack us. When our emotions dry up or when they grow cold, when our hearts are unmoved by God's love, by his grace, Satan will sow seeds as to whether we ever really meant it. Were you ever really a Christian? Did you ever really, or was it just an emotional thing that you did in church one day? Did you really mean it? Did you really ask Jesus to forgive you? And he'll put those questions in our hearts and minds because we're feeling bad on any given day. How do we answer that? We answer it by pointing to Jesus, who doesn't change, whose righteousness, whose goodness is always the same. We point to God who has given us and credited this righteousness to us. It's not our goodness, it's not our emotions, it's not our feelings that matter before God. It's are we covered with the righteousness, the purity of Jesus? So let me ask you this morning, have you trusted Jesus? Are you sheltering? Are you protected? Is your heart protected by the goodness and the purity of Jesus before a holy God? If you were to stand before him today, how would he see you? What protection have you got before God? You must come to Jesus before it's too late. You must come. I became a Christian. No, I didn't become a Christian. I have become a Christian. I'll be careful. I don't want to talk heresy. I went into ministry. I do what I do. Because when I was 19 years old, my best friend, I told some of you this before, my best friend, 17 years old, was killed in a car accident. It happens. We don't know that we've got tomorrow, do we? If you want to get into heaven, then you must come to Jesus. You must trust him. Some of you have been around church long enough and you know these things and you haven't made that decisive step yet. Some of you have grown up with it and you haven't come and trusted Jesus for yourself. would happen if you stood before your Maker tonight, today. You've got to come and be protected by Jesus. If you want to know how to do that, our time has gone this morning. I've got a couple of little booklets. You'll find more of these outside in the entrance area. One is called Why Jesus, and the other is just called The Remedy. They just give a very simple explanation of how to become a Christian, what you need to do, what you need to say to come to Jesus. Let me encourage you, please, if you've not done that before, trust him today. Come to him. Why ever would you put it off? He's come that you might have life and life to the full. He's come to protect you from judgment. He's come to protect you from Satan as well. It's a free gift to all who believe. If you're a Christian this morning, I want to encourage you to rejoice in what God has done for you in Jesus. I would encourage you to thank God for Jesus, to thank God that he's forgiven you, that he's cleansed you, and that he's given to you the righteousness, the purity of Jesus, to help you in your daily fight against Satan and against yourself and against the world around us. Go out and rejoice in that. Live for him, for what he's done for you. But if you haven't come to that point this morning yet, then let me encourage you, please. Before the day is out, get down on your knees, sit on a chair and ask God, say that you're sorry and ask him to forgive you and pledge your life to follow Jesus as your Savior and Lord and give him the rightful place in your life. If you want to talk to me about that because you're not quite sure, then I'm always happy. You know that. Seek me out. I'll see you afterwards. I'll come around and see you during the week. We can have a conversation on the phone, whatever. Or talk to somebody else that you know is a Christian. Talk to your mum or your dad or somebody that lives around you, you know. Somebody you know, but don't leave it. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for your wonderful gift of righteousness. Your wonderful gift that your goodness gets given to us so that we, as dirty and filthy and guilty as we are, get considered by God to be innocent and free and good. And that this is our defense against Satan when he would tempt us to despair. We look at Jesus and we know that he died for us and he lives for us and his goodness is counted as ours. We thank you for these things. Oh, seal them into our hearts. Make them thrill us and make us love you more every day, we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll sing.